Amen. Well, let's take our seats, and I'm going to preach to us a brief sermon, but Abimelech, Israel's worst leader. Abimelech, Israel's worst leader. Let me pray one more time. Father, would you anoint me to preach tonight, and would you feed your people tonight, we pray, from Holy Scripture in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we're faced with this wicked man Abimelech, the son of Gideon. The son of Gideon who slaughters all of the 70 sons. That in itself is the most, Japhet learned a new word this morning, so did Tatenda. And it was the word heinous. And this is an absolutely heinous sin. And what we find, it then leads from one thing to the next, Sin is like a fire. And if sin runs out of control, there's no limit to it. And we find that this man goes on a killing spree, and he ends up going, God judges him by this woman casting this millstone, which lands on his skull. And he dies a most shameful death. It's hard to choose Israel's worst king. We could choose King Saul. We could choose King Ahab, who was a wicked king, with his wife, whose name you know was Jezebel. We could choose King Ahaz. He was also a wicked king in Judah. But certainly, it's not a contest, but I would put Abimelech as one of Israel's worst leaders. I couldn't say exactly he was, but certainly one of. Abimelech is a man of pure wickedness, and how we're warned tonight. We must obviously think of Christ, we think of the gospel. Some people can be so far removed that the Lord hands them over. And I think that's the case with Abimelech. I think he's a case, he's not a Saul of Tarsus whom God breaks into and converts him. This man is handed over by the Lord, and he goes from bad to worse on this killing spree. And so it's a reminder for us how important it is that we pray. Is prayer important? It's essential that we pray that God would raise up shepherds for his church. Because every leadership vacuum will always be filled. There's never a lack of leaders. The question is, which leaders? And we need godly men. We have a vacancy committee for Lincoln, and we need to seek the Lord. As Norman Green has reminded us, it will be a disaster to get the wrong pastor. Once you get the wrong pastor, it's hard to get them out, isn't it? Well, it can be. But Abimelech, he wasn't appointed by a vacancy committee. He promoted himself. We never find that Israel cried out to the Lord. He just took it upon himself out of selfish ambition and pride to become the leader, and he began in the most wicked way. And so what we find, first of all, the first heading is there was a power vacuum after the death of Gideon. A power vacuum. And let's look at that first of all. In Judges chapter 9, verse 1 to 6, before that we find that Gideon dies. And then it says, verse 9, verse 1, now Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem to his mother's relatives and said to the whole clan and his mother's family, say in the ears of all the leaders of Shechem, which is better for you, that all the 70 sons of Jerubbaal rule over you, or that one rule over you? Remember also that I am bone and your flesh. So his question is a loaded question. This is a man with an agenda. This is a man with a wicked agenda. He says, who do you want to rule over you? One man or all 70 of Gideon's sons? Well, it's clearly not a question that the Lord is putting before the people. There's such a thing as plurality of eldership. But this man, no, he wants to be the top dog. And we find in the church that this is a constant problem in the church. We find in either 2nd or 3rd John, there was a wicked man. I'll just turn to it myself. In 3 John, John highlights this man. He says, I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stop those who want to and puts them out of the church. So we find in 3 John, there's a wicked man, and his name is Diotrephes. We find here in the book of Judges, there's a far worse wicked man, who's Abimelech, who actually goes on a killing spree. But both are wicked, and both, it's the spirit of Antichrist trying to get in among the people of God, trying to mislead the people of God. And some people clearly gave support to Abimelech. They didn't exercise discernment. They didn't exercise prayer. When people call you to their house and say, come, come and talk to me. There's no prayer, no reading the Bible. We've got a warning signal. We've got a Diotrephes who's at work, trying to get power in the church. We've got an Abimelech. Oh, what do you want? All 70 to rule over you, or just one? It's the devil at work in this man. There's a power vacuum. So, you know, I don't know when Jesus will come back. I don't know, you know, I'm not intending going anywhere. I've got very good health by the grace of God. But the time will come, at some stage, there'll be a handing on of leadership of this church to another pastor. But that's a moment of vulnerability for churches. Right now, Lincoln has a moment of vulnerability that we're praying and praying for the right man. To get the wrong man is a disaster. And here we see a power vacuum. Abimelech says, ah, I know what I'll do. I'll kill off all of my brothers. And that's exactly what he does. And if people are ambitious, there's no limit to the evil that they will do to get their own way. Can these things happen in the church? You better believe it. Abimelech, Israel's worst leader. Second point is Jotham's parable. Remember, Jotham was this young, Gideon's youngest, the youngest brother of all the brothers, and he actually escapes. He escapes from this killing by Abimelech. And then we find Jotham's parable in chapter 7 and verse 21. When it was told to Jotham, 9 verse 7, he went and stood on top of the Mount Gerizim and cried aloud and said, listen to me, you leaders of Shechem, that God may listen to you. The trees once went out to anoint a king over them. And so Jotham reveals the wickedness that had been happening. And so Jotham is raised up by the Lord, and he teaches a parable. He says, there's a vine, and they come to the vine and say, will you reign over us? And he says, no, I don't want to reign. Why should I leave my place? And then a vine and a fig tree, will you reign over us? And no. And guess what? Jotham preaches under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and you will always find a leader. And they find a leader, and guess what? The bramble bush says, I'll lead. But the bramble bush is actually speaking to us of the major mistake that Israel had done in appointing Abimelech to be their leader. And the verse 15, the bramble said to the trees, if in good faith you are anointing me king over you, then come and take refuge. How many of you like gardening? Some do. Some maybe not so much, I don't know. But anyway, Simeon's wife noticed my hands. I got certain cuts on my hands. And she said, oh, you got a lot of cuts on your hands. I said, yes, I was gardening yesterday and the day before. And I was actually chopping down this very thorny bramble bush. You can barely pick it up, actually, without it just almost cutting through your hands. And that's what Abimelech was like. And yet when they said about the bramble, he said, yes, I'll reign over you. And the point is this. Be aware of seasons in leadership when there's a power vacuum. It's like, I'm a Sheffield United fan. And there's, I support Sheffield United. I'm not obsessed about them. But no matter what manager they have and what manager they sack, there's always somebody else who's willing to take up the job next. And so it is in the church. We need to be aware of Diotrephes. We need to be aware of false leaders like Abimelech. And so they choose a bramble. So if you want to, Jeff, come and check my hands later, you'll see what cuts all over me. And that was just a bramble bush. But you appoint a bramble to rule over you, you're going to have cuts. It'll be disastrous. And so now it's too late. All these sons of Gideon are dead. And our third and last heading is the Lord's judgment now in all of this. The Lord's judgment, what? The people of God, they never seek the Lord in prayer. They don't seek the Lord in fasting. They don't cry out to the Lord, Lord, stop this man before he even gets there, Abimelech. And once he's in place, it's too late. And what we find is the Lord's judgment comes with civil war. Abimelech not only kills all of his brothers, now civil war happens in Israel. Now, in 9 and verse 22, we see the sovereignty of God. What do we read in verse 22? Abimelech ruled over Israel 3 years, and God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the leaders of Shechem, and the leaders of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech, that the violence done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come and their blood be laid on Abimelech, their brother who killed them, and on the men of Shechem who strengthened his hands to kill his brothers. The reason I'm laughing is that's a long sentence. But my point is this. People from charismatic church backgrounds, they would struggle with this verse. Why? He says, God sent an evil spirit. Some people believe that good things come from God and bad things from the devil. Well, that's not true. The sovereignty of God is more complex than that. It was God who sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the leaders. God's judgment is coming down now on two people. On Abimelech for his wickedness, but also upon Israel for their lack of seeking the Lord to even allow a man like Abimelech to even get into power. People complain about politicians, don't they? Who will be the next president of the United States? We can ask Junior afterwards what he thinks, and it's really a one in two chance anyway. You know, but really the leaders we have are a reflection on the people. And that's why we must be always in prayer. And here we see the same thing. Abimelech is a judgment from God. Because the people, they've already turned their back on the Lord. They're worshipping idols. So God gives them what they need. There are certain churches even in Sheffield. And I know that certain leaders have been given to them. And I think have been given as a judgment from God. Abimelech is a judgment from God. And it says, verse 23, and God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the leaders of Shechem. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe God can send an evil spirit to bring judgment now, and so that Abimelech's reign will collapse? But it doesn't collapse overnight. This man Gaal moves to Shechem. And then when we find Abimelech gets so angry with, he's got a competitor now in town, and this is strife that's stirred up by the Lord, because a house divided against itself
cannot stand.
Well done. A house divided against itself cannot stand. A house divided against itself cannot stand. And so this evil spirit does what the devil knows what to do, cause division. And therefore the devil tries to find avenues to bring division in the church. Because it will fall. The church may never completely go, but it will fall. And so division happens. And Abimelech then goes in revenge. And in 9 and verse 49, what happens? 9 and verse 49, look at this. So every one of the people cut down the bundle. They're following their leader, wicked Abimelech. And they put it against a stronghold. And they set the stronghold on fire over them, so that all the people in the tower of Shechem also died, about 1,000 men and women. Talking about Jesus being the good shepherd, this is the very opposite of the good shepherd, and now they burn 1,000 people alive. Now, I don't know what being burnt alive is like. I've read occasionally of certain Christian martyrs who've died. They've been burned alive at the stake. You imagine this wicked Abimelech now leads these men to burn alive. Not only just men, but men and women. This is absolute wickedness. Now let me just say, in our society, what is it that would hold things back from wickedness happening in Britain today? I really don't know. But what I can say is that things could get much worse. Anybody that knows anything about history and World War II should know that. And so we find he burns 1,000 alive. In 9 verse 53 we see Abimelech's end. And these kind of people will always find their end. And look in verse 53, a certain woman threw, because he now is encamped against Thebes, by the way, there's a strong tower there as well. And in verse 53, a certain woman now, this is a different tower, threw an upper millstone on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. How does Abimelech respond? Well, verse 54, he called quickly to the young man, his armor bearer, and said to him, draw your sword and kill me, lest they say of me, a woman killed me. And his young man thrust him through, and he died. In other words, he committed suicide, really. He said to his young man, kill me. And he didn't wait for the sovereignty of God to work its way through. But let me just give you one or two examples of wicked rulers in society who face similar ends. One of the most wicked leaders in this part of the world, in the 20th century, was a man called Adolf Hitler. And he was like Abimelech. He went on this killing spree and was responsible for leading Germany and the Nazis to killing about 6 million people, many of whom, men, women, and children, went to gas chambers and were killed. Many people from Hungary were led to gas chambers. But how did these people end? How did Adolf Hitler end? Well, he kept on like this man Abimelech, carried on, and then he realized that he still thought, even in about May 1945, that he was going to win. He was so self-deceived. And when he realized right towards the end he was going to die, he decided that he would commit suicide, him and Eva Braun, and I'll not tell you all the details about how it happened. They committed suicide, and Hitler gave command that once we die, drag our bodies outside, pour diesel on our bodies, so that when the Russians come, there'll be nothing left of us. And I want to remind us tonight that wickedness can emerge, wickedness can arrive, but God in his grace always deals with it. And we see Abimelech, that he was dealt with by the Lord. This stone landed on his head, crushed his skull, and he asked to be killed, and he died. And it says, when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, everyone departed to his home. In Africa, one of the most wicked leaders in the last century was a man called Idi Amin, who was the leader, many of you may not remember him, but he was a leader in Uganda. And he was a very strong leader, but he was an absolutely ruthless dictator. Went on an absolute killing spree, just like Abimelech. But what happened? He came to his end. He was deposed. He was thrown out. And he lived in exile, I think, in Saudi Arabia until he died. So my point is tonight is that leaders of shame, not always, but leaders of shame often die in shame. The Lord arranges that they will be humiliated in their death for the treatment of others. Because what a man sows is what he also reaps. And so, but what I want to be reminded of tonight as we come to a close is that Christ is Lord of all. We have a whole chapter in the Bible teaching us about Abimelech. And there's a warning. Be aware in the church of false leaders. Be aware that in society there'll be false leaders. I don't know exactly how it will work out, but the Bible seems to indicate to me that before the second coming of Jesus, there will be a world leader who will be an antichrist figure. But the problem is, many people will not discern it. because he'll be charismatic, will do all kinds of great things, but his heart will be full of wickedness like Abimelech. Abimelech is like a type of Judas. He was eating at the table of the Lord, but murder was in his heart. How did Judas Iscariot die? He hung himself. And so there will be an Antichrist figure, I believe, who will emerge before Christ comes back. And we need to keep our wits around us, because Jesus said this, take heed in Matthew 24 that no man deceive you. Take heed that no man deceive you. Abimelech deceived people, and the result was disaster. So let me pray for us tonight. Christ is Lord. He was Lord in the midst of this, but he teaches us lessons. Let me pray that our discernment would increase. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to grow in discernment, that we would stand against evil that would emerge in our own lifetime, in the church, in this church, in our own society. Help us to stand against it, because once wickedness takes root, the consequence, as it was with Adolf Hitler in Germany, was a disaster. And there's nothing to say that we couldn't face similar things. Please guard our nation, O Lord. Raise up men who fear God, as MPs, as in the House of Lords, and raise up men in your church who are men of truth and integrity. Would you hear us from heaven, Lord, and raise up godly shepherds, a new generation of men who will serve you faithfully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.